Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. Scott Durfee here, joined, as always, by the beautiful Deborah Durfee. Hello, Deb.
Hello, my friends.
How are you, Deborah?
I'm so good.
You know, when I do this every weekend, I don't know if our listeners are aware, but there are transcripts available. You can go to rss.com and under the website for the podcast and find them there. But every time when I generate a transcript from the podcast, Deb, it spells your name wrong.
Deborah?
Exactly. D-E-B-O-R, however.
A-H.
Yeah, and that's just D-E-B-R-A, Deborah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so that's right.
And it also spells Durfee the other way. I was going to say wrong, but those who are spelling it with
F-E-E.
E may take offense to that, because I think we're actually the ones that changed, not them. So anyway, that has
fun fact.
Nothing to do with a podcast. How's things going, babe?
Good.
Yeah, summer's
good.
Over.
I know.
It's not really.
Well,
it is.
Here's the thing. The other day I was mindlessly scrolling and I saw this 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31 except July. It only has four.
4 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
I swear it was just the 4th of July and now it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like July just flies by. I think we need three full months of July. I wish January would go as fast as July.
Well, we did kind of talk about it last week. I think that you said that July was your favorite holiday.
Summer's my favorite holiday.
Oh, summer.
Yes.
Summer's your favorite holiday.
Yes.
That's right.
I just want this to slow down because
yeah.
I am one of those that love the heat.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, and it has been hot here on the Wasatch Front.
I know. We went to a rodeo and got sweaty. We went to a park and listened to our family. My brother, Darren, he has a band, Papa Dewey and the Pistons.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And we sat on those chairs, and I'm holding a sleeping baby just a sweating.
And we had Grandma with us. So
yeah.
That was awesome.
Good time. Summer just is such a happy time. And then even last Friday, we went and saw one of our institute teachers that teaches with us.
Oh, that's right.
He had a band too in his front yard, and
that was a lot of fun in Alpine, Utah. That was a great time.
Yeah, there's just a lot of happiness that goes on in July. That's why I want it to last three more months.
This is really interesting hearing you say that. The queen of happy. You're happy in the winter too, babe.
I kind of fake it in the winter.
No, you don't. You don't. Okay, people can tell. Well, here we are. We're moving right along in the podcast. Before we get started, I every week I intend to do this, and I just get into the podcast and realize, oh my goodness, I forgot to do that. If you have emails that you'd like to share with us, or questions that you'd like to ask, or experiences that you'd like to share, or stories, or whatever, and they can be private, or they can be ones that you would like us to share. Yeah, or questions.
Yeah.
I think I said that, but or questions. And you can send those to us at heredeemsus@gmail.com. Heredeemsus@gmail.com. We've received some recently, Deb. Pretty amazing ones, actually. I have this...
We love our listeners.
I have this...
Seriously.
This gentleman has sent us about a half a dozen. And there's several others in here, too. But this one in particular, I just wanted to kind of read... maybe not the whole thing. I probably should have read through it before I did. But he says he's been a lifelong member. He grew up in Mississippi. His mom was born in the covenant, and dad was a convert. Growing up in the church, we went to church, but we didn't live it. Over the years, I've had some pretty miraculous experiences. I recently learned about your podcast, and then he puts OMG with lots of exclamation points. I always had the questions you address. Thank you for sharing your experiences, the bluntness of your lives. I've never understood why I was getting such powerful experiences and why I was given so many revelations. I seemed to self-destruct after each experience, and I thought I was the only one and didn't know how to stop until now. Thank you very much for sharing.
Aww.
And then he goes on, and that was one day, and then about a week later, another one comes, and he's actually my age. He says I'll be 62 in a few days, and all the questions that y'all putting up, I've never heard in any class before, and I appreciate your openness. It's so refreshing, and Another one, this other person. Anyway, just a lot of really...
You know what that reminds me of is sometimes when we teach Institute, I tell our students, I said, if you can't handle the truth, probably don't come to our class because we do puke truth. Where I'm one of those that lived a, you know, it's that sweep that under the rug kind of era.
Yeah.
That we just don't talk about that.
Yeah.
That as I got older, I was like, this is not the way God wants his church to be ran, because we're all sinners helping sinners.
Yeah.
And to be able to, and not that we have to shout our sins from a mountaintop or anything like that, but just knowing and understanding, because I was that person that went to church thinking I was the only one going through X, Y, or Z. And I just thought, I don't know who to talk to. I have no idea. I definitely don't belong here because I don't have what they have. I don't have what they, you know, and it's such a comparison thing, and I get it, and I know my weaknesses, but I think it is so important to know that you are not alone. And we say that every week in our podcast, that we really are not alone. We all are trying to muddle through this messy life and trying to figure out how to return back to him and apply the atonement of Jesus Christ in our lives. And it's powerful. It is, I mean, for me, I remember the first time I walked into a 12-step meeting, a 12-step recovery meeting, and I listened to another woman talk about her husband with an addiction problem, and there was such a sigh of relief. I felt like somebody had cut open a big blob of infection and just let me bleed it out. It was so, and not that I wanted anybody else to go through it or have any suffering, that, you know, it was just nice to know I'm not alone. And this is the thing about the church and the way Christ came down here and even taught his disciples, is that we are here for each other. We are here to lift. We are here to love. I mean, the baptismal covenant, going on to, you know, to mourn with those that mourn. You know, I was on the phone today with a couple of my kids, and, you know, some of them are carrying some heavy burdens right now, and, you know, I just wanted to mourn with them. And then, you know, some of them are having wonderful experiences, and I'm celebrating with them. So it's, you know, it's just, it's what we do. And it's not just in families, but our neighbors, which are you, all of our listeners. You're our neighbors. You're our friends. You know, I remember reading in scriptures about Jesus calling us our friends. And I think I've addressed this before. And a friend, they refer to as a covenant relationship. And I just think we're just disciples helping disciples, you know, Christians helping Christians, covenant people helping covenant people. This is what we do.
Yeah. Sinners helping sinners.
Yeah.
And we truly all are. You said a couple of things in there, Deb, that kind of caught my ear. We do have topic today. We're going to cover it.
Kind of went down a rabbit hole.
Well,
sorry.
We usually do, but I think this is okay, because and I think it's also important, because you said something about you used the word honest, right? And how important that is, and how for you it just set you free when you could finally feel like you could be honest in a setting. They would just set you free. And I think that you're not, I know for a fact that we're not the only ones who have and do feel that way.
Right.
One of the things I just want to point out, though, is that having that desire to be completely honest is actually one of the foundations of repentance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so when we talk about repentance, and I have this whole outline here, and I'm happy to share it. I'm not going to probably put it in the notes, but if anybody would love or like to get a copy of this, repentance it's an outline of what repentance is. So it goes through what it is, and it's a process, a choice, an attitude, a way of being, et cetera. And then it goes into the foundations of repentance. And there's basically three points to the foundations, or three foundations of repentance. First one is really understanding the atonement of Jesus Christ. Let me push pause. When we talk about repentance, what are we talking about? We're talking about turning away from the effects of the fall of Adam and Eve. And we could go through those again, but we're not going to take the time to do that tonight. But just remember, what are they? They're everything that has to do with a spiritual death or a physical death. So basically every problem you have.
Every problem.
I was having this conversation with my dad today, you know, and we decided that, hey, you know, when you're born, you start dying. The day you're born, you're on your...
There's a song about that.
Is there?
Yes.
I don't want you to sing it.
I don't even remember the tune, but I just remember the words that the day you're born, you start dying. I know one of our listeners knows this song.
Okay. Anyway, so we were talking about all of the... I kind of lost my train of thought there.
I'm sorry.
What did I say?
You said...
really understanding the atonement.
You said... the day that we are born, we start dying.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so we really need to understand the atonement of Jesus Christ. That's the first foundation of repentance. The second foundation is having a desire to be completely honest. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary sometimes.
I remember working with a sponsor when she said, Deb, I want you to think about this. When you just open up, doing that fourth step, is what I don't want you to know about me is.
Right.
And then start writing. And I was like, there is no way I'm putting that on a paper unless it gets burned really fast.
Yeah. Did you burn
it? You know what? No, I didn't. I don't even remember. I actually drew a picture, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's one of the ways that it looked like an elementary school child drew it, but it was very healing to get that out and to, you know, those things that we're going to take to the grave and those secrets. But in chapter 18 of the Divine Gift of Forgiveness, he talks about the uncompromising honesty.
Exactly.
That gut level honesty. And I always share a story about a mortuary, about a sealed room in the basement of this mortuary that had me baffled for quite a few years.
Well, sure, just tell the story.
I still think about it. My sister was dating a guy that was a mortician, and the mortuary that he worked at was in downtown Salt Lake, one of those old, beautiful homes that they had converted into a mortuary. And it had the old-fashioned elevators that opened up and had this grate that went across the front, and then you close it and it rattles and rattles and rattles and goes to each floor. And it was as a 15-year-old girl, I was fascinated by this old, and to some people it's not old, but it was 1800s old. And
I don't know who that wouldn't be old to, but yeah, okay.
But anyway, he was taking us on this tour of this mortuary, and he was telling it when we went to the basement, there was a body down there being embalmed, and he's like, do you want to see the body? And I'm, as a 15-year-old, there's a little bit of no, I don't want to see it. So he's taking us around and showing us that this was a sealed room, he said. And he goes, but they broke it open in the 40s, 30s or 40s, and found alcohol. They found a whole bunch of wine and other things. And then this other one was a sealed room. And this other one still is sealed. And he says, in fact, when they did the add-on on the back of the mortuary in 1970-whatever, the construction workers busted it open. And immediately when they opened it, they resealed it. And nobody talked about what's in that sealed room. And then my curiosity got, I mean, I'm like, what in the world could be in that sealed room? Well, as I thought about getting gut-level honest, I thought, you know what? I had a sealed room for a long time in my soul that I was going to take that secret to the grave.
Yeah.
That I was not, that's one thing I will never talk about. I won't admit I did not do that. I did not participate in that, whatever, that I was going to take that to the grave. And I remember when I started doing step work and my dear sponsor, oh, how I love her and how she changed my life forever. She said, when she told me those words, what I don't want you to know about me is my sealed room cracked. And I got to get gut level honest and to just, and it wasn't anything really that I hadn't repented about or anything like that. as much as I just didn't want people to know this about me. And I think when it was, when that sealed room per se in my gut or in my soul was opened and I didn't have any secrets anymore, there was such a freedom to that of, like a relief of, I don't know, tension or anyway.
Yeah,
that to me is that repentance piece.
Well, and that's a common, I don't know, descriptor. That's a common way that we hear it described, right? Is when I was finally able to get honest enough. Mm-hmm. Because for some of us, this is a constant battle or an effort, constant effort. You know, because I think that for some of us, and I really do mean us,
yeah.
I'm implicated here.
Yeah.
I really think this for some of us that, you know, honesty is not something that's just super easy sometimes. And I don't have to justify it. I just mean even little like me lies, you know, just the little things. And anyway, so important. So that we kind of did go down a little bit of a rabbit hole there, but I think it's important that we did. And understanding, I've already talked about now the first two foundations of repentance. I said there was three, so I have to say the third one. But if you think about this, you know, I'm going to go back to the first two. If the first foundation of repentance is really understanding the atonement of Jesus Christ. So if I really understand the atonement of Jesus Christ, that's what gives me the desire to be honest, right? If you remember, we go back several podcasts and we talk about desire coming from our gratitude. Gratitude for the Savior, for what he did, is what really begins the desire within each one of us. Gratitude begins, from gratitude comes our desire. So once I have gratitude for the atonement of Jesus Christ, now I have a desire to be completely honest. Why do I have that desire to be completely honest? Because the third foundation, which is because I have adequate faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To know that he can and will indeed, we talked about this last week, redeem me from my sins.
Yeah.
If I align with him. So we move into the conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Just to kind of recap, last week we talked about redemption from sin. Prior, you know, in the several episodes prior to that, we talked about the unconditional effects. For those of you who are just tuning in, we talked about the unconditional effects of Jesus Christ's atonement. There are many, and some of the most beautiful blessings are those that are unconditional. We have, that last beginning last week, began talking about the conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ. And we'll be continuing that conversation tonight. So last week we talked about redemption from sin. We talked about how that is one of the main conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ, is because it's through the atonement of Jesus Christ that we not only overcome sin, but we overcome the effects of sin.
Yeah.
Right? And when there was a couple of scriptures, Deb, I think that we used, is there one of those that you'd like to kind of revisit when it comes to redemption?
Well, there's two, and I don't know how I choose
one or the other.
Mosiah 3:19.
Should we just do them both? I mean,
yeah,
there's many. We're not just saying there's only two that talk about redemption, but we want to focus on potentially maybe a couple from last week, just to kind of put us back in the groove of things here, to put us back on track in terms of talking about the effects of Christ's atonement. So which one do you want to go with first, Deb?
I'm going to go with Mosiah 3:19.
Okay, King Benjamin.
I remember when you guys were recording this, talking about this before, and you said in Benjamin 3,
in Benjamin
King
3.
Benjamin 3, and I'm thinking, I don't remember where King Benjamin is. I remember looking it up. Bless my ignorance. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever, unless,
that's highlighted,
circled in my scriptures, he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things. I always think of a child when I hear of that. I read that.
Yeah.
submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him. Even, here you go, even as a child doth submit to his father. And then in Helaman, we did read these.
Yeah.
Last one I remember.
Yeah. So Helaman, this is Helaman chapter 5, one of my very favorite scriptures. And we're going to read 10 and 11. And remember also the words which Amulek spoke to Zeezrom in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come and redeem his people, that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins.
I love that.
Yeah. Not in their sins, but from their sins.
Yeah, get us away from those sins.
And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Therefore, he has sent his angels to declare the tidings and conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. And then, of course, you can't read that without reading Helaman 5:12, right? Now, my sons, remember. It's upon the rock of the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundations. And when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds and his shafts in the whirlwind, and when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have now no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe. Because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon, if men build, they cannot fall.
What a promise.
Not that they will not fall. It's impossible for. If we build our foundation on the rock of our Redeemer, we cannot fall.
It's quite a promise. It's quite a promise.
Wow. Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, throughout the podcast and throughout the course that we teach at Institute and, you know, over the several years that we've been doing the podcast, one of the main things, Deb, that have that has really come through the podcast each time are these blessings that come because of Jesus Christ's atonement. Now, it's important maybe that we remind ourselves here, there's no power in the atonement. The blessings are from Jesus Christ.
Right.
They come from him. They're made available to us because he went through the atonement and finished his work, right? It is mm-hmm. finished, again, mm-hmm. like you said, on the cross. But because he finished his work, all of these things can happen, not because of a separate entity called the atonement. These blessings come from Jesus only, okay? Yeah. So we're redeemed. First blessing from the atonement of Jesus Christ is redemption. One of the other ones, and they're in no particular order, but the next one that we frequently talk about is the enabling or strengthening. And we can use those two kind of synonymously in this situation, right? Strengthening and enabling powers that come from Jesus Christ because of his atonement.
Which reminds me of another scripture, which has been my favorite for a long time. And I can't really say favorite anymore because I have too many favorites, so I just have a scripture I really like still. But the Ether 12:27, which is such a powerhouse and such a personal inventory one for me.
So while you're looking that up, when Deb and I were first knew each other before we were married. This is one, I don't know if you remember this or not, but this is one of the days I fell in love with you. Was we were talking, and I don't remember exactly what woes I was spilling on you, or, you know, the discouragement that maybe I was feeling at the time. But you used this scripture and introduced, not for the first time, but introduced to me probably, babe, what this scripture meant to me for the first time. I'll never forget that. I forget the date and the exact situation, but I don't forget that that actually happened. So when I think of Ether 12:27, I think of a lot of things. First, Jesus, but one of those other things I think of is you and that, and helping me along with that. I appreciate that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, 20-something, probably 25 years ago.
Yeah. So Ether 12:27 says, and if men come unto me, I will show them their weakness. You know, I don't think necessarily we need help with showing our weakness. However, pride does get in the way. And I often have to go to the Lord and say, all right, I need Anyway, I'm going to keep reading this. And if men come to me, I will show them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. I will never forget when I learned about this personally, about feeling so inadequate, so broken, so weak. And I just know that when we humble ourselves before the Lord, He has a whole lot more in store for us that we never even imagined. And to become that vulnerable and open to say, and humble, you know, I always think of the broken heart and contrite spirit. And I always say a broken heart is an open heart. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're, you know, heartbroken over a relationship, but literally heartbroken, yes, over a relationship that we hurt or harmed others, and especially that Jesus had to drip drops of blood, suffered for this, that I caused pain for this. And I think it's such a powerful scripture to take your weakness, and there's opposition in all things. So if you're willing to give up your weakness, He says right in here, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. And that is, I testify is true for a fact. That is so true.
Do you have any examples of that?
Oh gosh, I have so many examples of that.
Can you think of one you'd like to share?
I'm actually dyslexic, and it's been a learning disability for me for my whole life. And so I felt validated in school because my grades were so low, because my learning abilities were such a challenge for me. I learned better audible. So if somebody hands me a book and says, read this and tell me about it, I'm basically in the fetal position because it's very, very, it was very, very difficult for me to read as a child. And I remember scriptures were horrifically hard for me, so hard. And as I got older and I started having kids and I started over reading again at just children books. And then, you know, trying to understand the scriptures, trying to elementary read things to help me understand. I remember a time when, well, and it's in my patriarchal blessing that if I will study, that the Lord will reveal things to me. So I put that to the test. I really did plead. And I said, Heavenly Father, I can't read very well. And it's challenging. And I always labeled myself as stupid because it was validated in numerous ways growing up. Getting an education and getting a degree and all those kinds of things just overwhelmed me. So I always did things with my, you know, I got my nail license and I did a rapid eye therapy and I do other things that are more hands-on rather than read a book and pass a test because that was excruciatingly painful for me. Well, as I dug into the scriptures and as I pleaded with Him that He would reveal and make my weak things become strong, I have been able to understand scripture like I have never understood before. And there's been numerous times, and you've seen me do this, read a book and listen to it at the same time, plug mm-hmm. my ear, and like I have to overcome.
Or you'll read out loud.
I do read out loud a lot.
Right.
Because I'm an audible learner.
Well, you're adapting to a challenge, and that's wonderful. Yeah.
But as I have watched that weakness, that very thing that made me feel so stupid as a child or a student, or made me feel stupid as an adult because made me feel not good enough. I hate using the word stupid now because I realized once I had a way of learning, it's like, this is my strength. Yeah. And the Lord has gifted me with this. Like I can read scripture now, I can read books now, I can read all kinds of things that I literally comprehend, and that is nothing of my doing. I let Him heal that weak part of me. and strengthen me to be an avid learner and a seeker. Because that was very challenging for me as a child. And even sometimes as an adult, when my party trick was always, I can say the alphabet backwards as fast as I can say it frontwards, and I can write backwards and forwards.
Not in cursive.
Yeah, and print. Yeah. I can do all kinds of party tricks.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, and I remember doing a report back in the day before we all had computers and printers that I wrote an entire essay backwards for my English teacher, and the comment at the bottom was creative. And I thought, well, I guess that's what I am, is creative. So
how does this relate to the atonement of Jesus Christ?
Well, it relates to Ether 1227, and that's where I was at, is taking my weak things, because I did not ever feel good enough, ever. And when we graduated from high school and all my friends were going off to college, I was like, absolutely not. There is no way I can.
Right.
Besides the fact I had another distraction, which we all know about. But I mean, literally, I was like, continuing in education, high school was brutally painful for me. It was so hard. And so I just thought, I will be stuck here forever. I'll be a cashier at the grocery store.
Well,
that's a bad job.
Not at all.
But
not at all. And you know, and you're doing wonderful things today. And not that those things are how we measure our worth, but Deb's a director over many divisions at a company. Many people report to her now. And she went from driving a forklift in the warehouse to being the big boss. I mean, she answers almost directly right to the CEO of the company. So, you know, it's really, you've done a great. And this is, again,
I didn't do this.
I know that. And that's the point, right, babe? And that's the point I hear you saying, too, is it's like, you know, this wasn't on me. It was because I responded to a promise in my patriarchal blessing.
Yep.
I felt the enabling power of weak things becoming strong through Christ's atonement in my life. Again, here's another perfect, really great example of when we think of Christ's atonement, so many of us so frequently say, it's for my sins, and it is. We talked about that last week, but again, I'll remind, I remember, and I, you know that I've already shared this, but I remember a member of a stake presidency, and it's okay, you know, but stood up and said, I love the atonement of Jesus Christ. I've had to use it several times in my life.
In the last 4 minutes for me.
We draw our breath because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We use it every day in our life, whether we know it or not. But now we're talking about the conditional effects. And so these are the ones that we know.
Yeah. And where we go to the strengthening, enabling power.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot tell me. I mean, and I will testify with my hand raised to the square that was the strengthening, enabling power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. I know that.
Yeah.
Because I was not capable to do this on my own.
Right.
He had to strengthen me and enable me and compensate me for where, you know, the little bit that I was, the little effort he magnified.
Yeah.
You know, the little effort that I would put in listening to books
and
following along with my finger so I didn't read it wrong or whatever. But the compensatory, I mean, to compensate there and strengthening was powerful.
Where I have probably in my own life, and I think that it's, you know, you share yours. I'm going to share. I want to share maybe where there's been so many examples in my own life where the compensatory or strengthening blessings have been available to me, or I've been able to access them because of Christ's atonement. And anytime I've overcome a sin or a bad habit, you know, I smoked for a long time and it was difficult. That was a very difficult habit for me to overcome. And finally, Deb, it wasn't until I asked for a blessing I don't know why it didn't occur to me before. Well, I do know, because I was hiding, right?
Yeah.
Hide.
Maybe you had a sealed room.
It was totally a sealed room. I was even hiding it from you at one point.
Yes, you were.
And it wasn't until I was actually received a blessing, and it was because of the priesthood power, which, again, it unlocked the ability for the atonement, the enabling and strengthening powers of the atonement of Jesus Christ to be at work in my life. I hadn't planned on sharing that one. I'm not, that's not something I'm proud of. It's not something I, you know, that, but that was difficult for me.
Yeah.
You know, that was part of my sealed room. Yeah. That was, you know, I used to say, well, I only smoke when I drink. Well, I drink every day, you know,
yeah.
And then I quit drinking and I couldn't quit smoking.
Yeah.
I learned too, that I had to apply the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which again is the gospel for dummies. No,
the atonement.
The atonement for dummies. No offense to those of us who are dummies, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous or other 12-step programs. And I say that just jokingly. I hope you all know that. But it is only because of his atonement. I can't. He can. I'm going to let him. We've talked about that several times now, that I was able to do that. But the biggest one for me is I tried to quit drinking. I started drinking when I was 14 years old. I quit drinking when I went on my mission, and it wasn't a problem, and I thought I was done. And then when I came home off my mission, I quit doing the things that would enable the spirit of the spirit of the Holy Ghost to be in my life, and so I no longer had access to the atonement to the degree that I had if I had been living my life in accordance with His will.
That's a perfect example of repentance, because you turned your back on that drinking life and turned to Him. You came to Him. That's a perfect example of repentance. What repentance is, is you turned your back on the sin and you faced Him. I love that.
The sin and everything that was because of it. I had to learn why I drank. So I even had to learn to turn my back on that. Mm-hmm. The defects of character, the things that would be so easily besetting to me. I had to learn how to apply the strengthening and enabling blessings of Christ's atonement in my life in order for those things to be set aside.
Yeah.
In order for the effects of the fall to be taken care of in my life, right?
Yeah.
When I think of the enabling and strengthening blessings of the atonement of Jesus Christ, I have to also remember, Deb, you know, when this turning for me, you know, you said that's a great example of repentance. It is a good example of repentance. And you know what else is a good example of repentance for me along those lines? Is I have to do it every day.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say that again. I get to do it every day because it is a great blessing for me to be able to, and to even be required to, in order for me to maintain my spiritual progress, I have to turn to Him and learn to rely on Him and turn my will and my life over to the care of Him every day. And I couldn't do that if I didn't have faith in Him, if I didn't know Him, if I didn't love Him, if I didn't have desire to be like Him because of the gratitude I have for Him because of what He went through for me.
Yeah. And I think that's another great example of when President Nielsen said, find joy in repenting daily.
Daily repentance is the key.
Oh, 100%. What a gift. And when we slip and fall and make a mistake or swear at that stupid driver that's driving too slow or whatever.
Is that how it went for you today?
I could give you another example of what happened today. That was just the first one that came to my mind. But when we have that moment, push pause and say, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity I have to repent, to turn
that.
My back on
you. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I love that. That reminds me of a story, you know, David, who I used to do the podcast with, who's on a mission now, and you're sitting in his spot.
He sat in mine. It was mine first. I bought this chair.
100% right.
Just kidding.
Yeah, you bought that chair for me for Father's Day, and he sat in it the whole time. I don't understand this. But Chris, his sweetheart, you know, she was struggling with the atonement because she just always felt so fallen. These are her words. You know, and we can go back and find this. It's in an episode, probably in all three episodes, three seasons prior to this one. But when just like you just said, when she would run into a situation where she just like, oh man, I had a bad thought, or oh man, I sinned, or whatever, she would bow her head and say, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your atonement.
Thank you for letting me see my weak things.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for letting me see my weak things. And thank you for making them strong.
Yes.
Because I turn them to you.
I'm willing.
Yeah.
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 Humble yourselves before Him.
Yeah.
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 There's a lot of meat in that scripture for me.
One of the things that I've noticed, you know, we keep referring to the strengthening or the enabling power of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Well, I think that we could almost substitute that word in many situations too, with enabling or strengthening grace.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Because it comes as a grace sometimes. It comes as a grace every time.
I think about my, you know, trying to read and trying to have that reading comprehension. Yeah. That was a pure sacred act of grace.
Grace.
What a gift.
Yeah. So, literally. You know, last week we talked about grace, you know, grace that forgives us. Tonight we're talking about grace that enables us. What's the difference between those two graces? What's the difference between grace that forgives us and grace that enables us?
Grace that forgives us and grace that enables us.
Not much difference.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not really seeing a huge difference.
There's not much difference.
No.
Right? Same source.
Yeah.
Same
sacred.
Love.
Sacred.
Same bleeding from every pore.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and power. Those two words in this situation go hand in hand. It's an absolute grace. In fact, all the blessings that come to us because or by way of Christ's atonement are definitely come to us by way of grace. We can never earn them.
Never.
They definitely come to us by way of grace.
Yep.
When it comes to strengthening and enabling powers, maybe a question that we can just ask ourselves as a prompt for this week is, you know, where have you, our listeners, where have you seen God make your weakness into a strength?
Yeah.
Or weaknesses. Or, yeah, exactly.
Or where are you willing?
Or even that. Maybe.
I mean,
that's
probably one I need to ask me, is where am I willing to now? I mean, that's a past weakness that I have definitely been able to see as a strength. But now it's like, it's not that I'm done with my weaknesses. I promise I have way more. But it's you know, that's a great question to say, what weakness am I willing to allow him? Can I humble myself enough to allow him to strengthen me?
Yeah, yeah.
What's my favorite weakness or sin?
We have some very close friends, Jory and Mandy.
They were on the podcast.
We've replayed that episode a couple of times, and we probably will again. But they had a tragedy in their family. They had their little one was while they were at a church function. I believe they were at
the temple.
Mm-hmm. A babysitter was with their baby, and when they returned, the baby was dead.
Yeah, had been shaken.
And they shared about their experience of strength and hope and trying to understand the ins and outs, trying to understand this life with that type of a situation in it. I mean, we're talking the effects of the fall in ways that you and I hope never have to understand, right? I know many of our listeners have. I know it's not, but I know that it's a situation that you and I have never had to understand.
Not that story, but there's definitely.
But there's others.
Yeah, for sure others.
As we move now from his enabling and strengthening power, we're going to move into, and we talked about compensatory blessings, how he compensates us. And we talked about how many of those compensatory blessings come by way of his atonement in an unconditional fashion to us. We're compensated unconditionally in a lot of ways. But when it comes to when I need his comfort, when I need his help in the unfairness or in the suffering in my life, there's compensatory blessings that are available to us because of that.
I always put the mirror in front of my face in these kinds of things, and I never had that. I mean, I've never had that type of, that level of tragedy that Jory and Mandy felt. However, I have had a lot of unfairness and suffering in my life that I definitely felt his compensatory blessing. I remember, without going into too much detail, being married to my first husband and dealing with a really excruciatingly painful news, and I remember thinking, I have been nothing but faithful and loyal and go to church and do all of this. And why am I having to deal with this now? And I was angry. I was so angry. It felt so unfair. It felt so, I definitely put on the victim title and I was so upset. And I remember when we were learning more about the atonement and remembering that we are all his children, and for us to understand and learn about forgiveness and repentance and all of that, there has to be things happen to us that aren't fair, that so that we understand a little tiny bit of what pain and suffering he felt in the Garden of Gethsemane. Elder Bednar, in April 2012, there was a talk about the powers of heaven, and a quote in there is, Christ suffered not only for our sins, but also for the inequality, anguish, and emotional distress. And I'm sure our listeners, because of this messy, messy world we live in, I'm sure they have felt inequality, anguish, and emotional distress. We're humans. We're here in a fallen world. We are experiencing all kinds of unfairness. And we all know what suffer looks like, no matter the extremes. But, you know, we all feel that. We all, in one way or another. And I think it's important for us to apply it in our own, to say, where has Christ's atonement compensated me for my suffering, things that were unfair, that I didn't feel like, it's funny how we use the word deserve.
Right.
Because, you know, one of the most powerful scriptures and probably the most read scripture is 1 Nephi 1:1. I, Nephi, being born of goodly parents and suffered many things. That's not exactly. I'd have to look it up to quote it exactly. However, that literally, when I read that, and in fact, I'm going to read it. 1 Nephi 1:1. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father, and having seen many affliction in the course of my days. Affliction, suffering. Nephi's a great example of that. Nevertheless, and this is the piece that penetrated my heart, having been highly favored of the Lord in all my days, yea, having had a great knowledge of the goodness and the mysteries of God, therefore I make record of my proceedings in this day. He suffered many afflictions, and he's highly favored of the Lord. Yeah. So I'm like, I, Deborah, being born of goodly parents, I literally put my name in there because I can relate to that. We all can relate to that.
Yeah. Affliction's definitely a universal problem, right? Is definitely something that each of us will have the opportunity, and it can be an opportunity. Weak things can be made strong, right?
And we can bow our head and say thank you for this.
Doesn't feel
no
like
growing
an
in the comfort zone. No comfort in the growing zone.
My
heart.
But it can be an opportunity. You know, the thing that I wonder about this, Deb, if you know, last week we talked a lot about justice and mercy. We're going to be talking a lot about that again in Institute here this week. Justice and mercy, and what I want to know, and I'm posing this question: if justice demands repayment for our sins, what does it demand for our undeserved pain? Right? We think about justice only being the demander of reconciliation around sin. Well, no, justice must reconcile all things that are fallen. And so if that's the case, if justice demands repayment for our sins, what does it demand for our undeserved pain?
Wowzer.
Yeah. So let's be thinking of that this week.
Yeah.
What does, because we're running out of time. We need to kind of cut it tonight, but this gives us plenty to think about this week. We've got a lot to chew on. We've got a lot that we can, when we approach the sacrament table on Sunday, there's a lot here that we can really put in our hearts and begin to commune with Heavenly Father for a deeper understanding around. But this is one of them. If justice demands repayment for my sins, what does it demand for my undeserved pain? Because I have undeserved pain.
There will be justice, yeah. Wow.
What does it demand for them? So let's think that through this week. You know, let's talk about that next week. The other thing I want, just by way of invitation to our listeners, is, you know, what's something unfair that you can now begin to see differently because of Christ's compensation?
Those kind of go together, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because undeserved pain and unfair could be lumped in a
similar.
Right? Yeah. It is unfair.
Yeah.
And it is undeserved.
Yeah. And anything unfair can feel painful.
But it's not
going to
be fair. Yeah. It's true.
Right?
It's true.
Not just physical pain. It's any kind of pain. And Heavenly Father loves us enough that has allowed us to be compensated through and by His Son because of His atonement.
Yeah.
Because of the great and final sacrifice.
Yeah.
I think about this stuff, Deb, and I just wonder. I was having this conversation again with my dad, having a conversation with my dad today, and it was just a sweet, beautiful, loving gospel doctrine kind of conversation. And one of the things that I've realized is that Heavenly Father and Jesus has met me so much closer to my own effort than expecting me to move towards His. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I put forth effort in it, and it seems like I'm trying, but I fail miserably. I'm so human still. No big sins, you know. I'm living my life in accordance with the commandments and all of those things. My relationship, though, it is so important, and the only important thing. Remember, we go back to Luke chapter 10, right?
Yeah.
And the one needful thing is to be sitting at the feet and hearing the words of Jesus. In other words, worshiping Him, having that relationship with Him. I need to remember that. And when I do, when things get rocky, when things get tough, when people in my life are making decisions that are creating chaos for them that affects me, I need to remember that the atonement of Jesus Christ provides not just redeeming blessings, not just enabling and strengthening blessings, but compensatory blessings as well. Next week, we're going to talk about more about the compensatory blessings. One of the things that I really want to talk about, and I'm making a voice note of this so I don't forget, is how important it is that the compensatory blessings that come by way of Christ's atonement, how important those are to me in the lives of those who I hurt.
Yeah.
That's where, for me, maybe some of the greatest blessings from Christ's atonement will come and do come.
So, compensatory.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big one.
As we kind of wrap things up today, we just want to say that wherever you are and however you're feeling, you're welcome here. Jesus isn't just waiting you to clean everything up before you come to Him.
He meets us right in the middle of our mess, which reminds me of that hymn, "Where Can I Turn for Peace?" When he, in the third verse, when he says, "He answers privately, reaches my reaching in my Gethsemane." That's where His grace shines. So come as you are. Broken, unfair, undeserved, questioning, searching. You're not alone, friends. We're in this together.
I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to mention it again. Please don't hesitate to send us emails to heredeemsus@gmail.com. We read every single one of those, and again, we'll respond to as many as we possibly can. heredeemsus@gmail.com. And let me say thank you to the many who have been. Roy, thanks for letting us share your experience tonight, and keep those things coming.
Yes. And if this episode touched your heart, we would hope that you would share it with someone you love and care about, a friend, a family member, or anyone who could use a little bit more hope, understanding their undeserved pain and their unfairness and injustice.
Yeah, no kidding. Next week, I can't wait. We're going to talk more about the compensatory blessings of the Savior. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to move into healing and comfort. Compensatory, enabling, and redeeming. Give me healing and comfort. There's no question. There's no question. But we're going to talk specifically about blessings of healing and blessings of comfort by way of conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for being with us. We love you. And remember, there is always hope through Him, because you have been redeemed through His blood. So have I.
We do indeed love you. Thanks for being with us tonight and each and every night. Until we're together again, be well.